This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's that time in a pandemic where, as a sports fan, you can't watch sports unless they're old sports or modified sports of some sort, like the horse game in the NBA. We talked about that proposal earlier. So you start to come up with ways for sports to be better once they do get back in front of your eyeballs. And for NHL fans, that includes coming up with fixes to the league. You know, things that aren't going quite the way you want them to go, and how do you put them back together in a better fashion when we get back to the game? Pete Blackburn of CBSSports.com had a column over the weekend where he comes up with a handful of fixes to the NHL. Do you want to go through these one by one, Colin?
Sure.
Okay. Let's start with the point system. We've all had complaints over the years about the loser's point, how you can go to overtime, lose a game, and get a point out of it. Well, Pete's fix is one that we've talked about for a long time that makes sense, but for some reason, the NHL has never really fully embraced, and that's the 3-2-1 point system, where you get 3 points for a regulation win rather than two. You would get 2 points for an overtime or shootout victory. And for that overtime or shootout loss, you would get 1 point. That way, we're not giving people points, for just getting to overtime. You get 3 for the regulation win, and it incentivizes actually winning in regulation rather than going than sitting back and sort of playing it safe to get into overtime and guarantee yourself that 1 point.
I don't mind that, but I'm somebody that I'm not great to talk to in this realm because I never minded ties. I was okay with ties.
Yeah. You know what? That's a good one. I'd almost rather go back to a tie system where if we're going to play, and Pete also proposes an expansion of the 3-on-3 OT to 10 minutes instead of 5. But I'd rather, if you're going to do 3-on-3 overtime, I'm fine with that. Expand it to 10 minutes. And if there's no winner after that, then fine. It's just a tie, and each team gets a point and moves on with their life.
Yeah, I'm big on understanding the march of a regular season in a lot of these sports and how you just can't blow yourself out one night for the sake of winning one game. And every game carries a great value. It really does. But you can't make one deeper than the next, whereas you get into such a long time elapsed that it kind of rolls over into the next game and maybe affects you for upwards of a week. We see baseball with these, you know, 18, 19 inning games sometimes, and that definitely has an impact like that. That's why with hockey, I was always okay with a tie. My proposal, I'd go sudden death overtime. I'd go 3-on-3 for, I'd get rid of the shootout. I'd go, because it's based on a singular skill, I think. I'd go 5-on-5 for 5 minutes or so and then just be done with a tie.
Yeah, the shootout has lost its appeal, I think, for a lot of people because it was a novel concept when it was introduced, but now the more novel concept is the 3-on-3, and to be quite honest, it's a whole lot more exciting than a shootout. The 3-on-3 overtime, I have no problem expanding that by a couple of minutes, 7 minutes, even 10 minutes maybe, and then, again, if there's no winner, then we just, okay, you each get a point, and we move on with the schedule. Scheduling and playoff seeding is the other proposal Pete includes in his column at CBSSports.com, where you take some of those conference games. Everybody plays the teams in the other conference now twice. You get a home and home, basically, with all the teams in the Western Conference. If you're a Penguins fan, for example, he proposes dialing that back. You play each team in the other conference just once so that you get a few more divisional games. I mean, there are times now on the schedule where we saw it this year. The Penguins didn't play the Carolina Hurricanes, who were in the Metro Division with them, until the last 6 weeks of the season, or what would have been the last 6 weeks of the season. So a few more divisional games, and going back to that 1-8 playoff seeding rather than the 1-3 in each division and the couple of wild cards now.
Why can't you split that down the middle? You can go the 1-8 playoff seeding, but not play that different schedule. I like the trip out west, and I like the home and home, because baseball does it the same way. You go and you play the Kings, and the Kings come here. You go and you play the Flames, and the Flames come here. I don't want to go a year in hockey, and we did whenever there was the lockout year, but I don't want to go a year in hockey where I don't get to stay up late, and maybe it's selfish as a fan, but I don't, because let's say like Vancouver would just come here, or Calgary would just come here, or Edmonton would just come here. You'd have to guess that one of those three teams, like the Penguins, wouldn't go to all three under this proposal. I want to go a year where I see the Penguins play on that shiny ice in Edmonton that looks like a piece of glass. It's so beautiful.
Right.
Or stay up until 10 o'clock at night and watch them play in Vancouver. Or maybe see Pat Sajak sitting in front row against the LA Kings. It may be a return game. It may be just the game here in Pittsburgh under this proposal. And I want to go a year where I see that. And by virtue of the other way around, don't the people – now, of course, they want the home games in Edmonton and in Calgary and in Winnipeg or wherever. But don't those people want to see their stars go to Pittsburgh and see them play at Sidney Crosby's barn and see what it's like to see their team and their away sweaters go and play against Geno and Sid? I love the home and home in hockey and in baseball.
Yeah, I would like to see more divisional games. Like playing the Flyers just four times in an entire season doesn't make a ton of sense. I don't think you need as many as it was at one point where it was eight times in a season, I think. That was a bit much. But yeah, at the expense of the Western Conference games, I don't know. And I definitely agree that neither one of those scheduling tweaks keeps you from just going back to the 1-8 conference alignment for the playoffs. There's another one that Pete talks about in his column where they fix offside reviews, either get rid of them altogether or just make it so that the blue line is sort of like a plane of the line, like a goal line in the NFL. And it sounds like the NHL is getting closer to implementing that anyway. But his final proposal is the one that I think is the most interesting and probably has the least likely chance of occurring, and that's an end-of-season lottery tournament where the last four teams in the league would play a little single elimination tournament to decide who gets extra ping pong balls in the draft lottery, which is interesting because it would give extra games, and the league loves to have extra games, especially games of consequence that they can sell to the networks, but also because you're asking teams then to play essentially and play well for a better shot at a better draft pick.
No, that can't happen because here's why. Because there's going to be guys that are going to become free agents that are going to say, hell with this. I'm not playing in this.
What do I
care?
Yeah,
I'm not playing for this team anymore. There's also guys that are going to be, that maybe only have 1 or 2 years left, and they're going to say, hell with this. The guy that we're trying to get is never even going to play with me. You know, like I'm never going to be on this guy's team. Why do I want to do this? And they're already, their golf clubs have already been out for 3 weeks when they look at the standings. And they are gone the night of that last game, let alone sticking around for more games.
Yeah, I don't mind trying to add games at the end of the season, especially dramatic games or games that have an impact, but you're not going to be able to pull it off with the teams at the bottom of the standings. If anything, give me a couple play-in games with like the 9 and 10 seeds in the conference. I could see that happening before some kind of weird draft lottery tournament. But all kinds of proposals as people continue to try and find different ways to fix their favorite sports, like the NHL. I like the 3-2-1 point system. I like a 10-minute 3-on-3 OT. Those kind of things, I think, definitely would appeal to fans as well. Nick Vanette, not too happy about his time last year in Pittsburgh. Wasn't happy about his time in Seattle either. He spoke about it over the weekend with the Denver media as he's agreed to terms on a 2-year contract with the Denver Broncos. And he talked at length about how he felt like he got shoved out in Seattle. And once he got to Pittsburgh, he was hopeful that perhaps he would be more a part of the plans, I guess, because he got the feeling that the Steelers were pursuing him in a way. And then he said, quote, "When I got to the Steelers, talk about a crazy 3 months there. It seemed like I came into an organization where the wheels were starting to fall off a bit. Guys were getting hurt. Ben was down. So I feel like I never really got to experience the true benefits, the true atmosphere that the Steelers normally would have because I came in on a crazy situation." The wheels were starting to fall off a bit. Maybe on the offense, I can see that because they were dealing with backup quarterbacks who weren't very effective. But I don't know where Nick Vannett gets off being the guy who's criticizing that offense, considering he was one of the ineffective pieces at the core of it.
Yeah, and I can't find the tweet right now, but I know that Teresa Varley from the Steelers, she had something in one of her stories not long ago, during the season, where Nick Vannett just sang the praises of Pittsburgh, how welcomed he was, how much he liked it, how much he was fitting in, everything like that. And that was during the season. That was in the throes of what was happening as it was going down. So I don't get it. This is the most popular, not necessarily popular, but this is the most juice Nick Vannett has ever had in Pittsburgh when he comes out and he says something bad about the team. Now, people are free to criticize the team all they want. I mean, that's fine. I mean, it's not going to hurt my feelings or anything or anybody's feelings, but it's just curious coming from Nick Vannett, who didn't acquit himself all that great as a player. And Chris, I seem to think along the lines of what you're thinking, he had ample opportunity, or had he been great in practice, or had he shown himself out to be very good in games, Vance McDonald's cycle works the same every week. He gets hurt in the game on Sunday, gets dinged up. He comes back. You wait on him. He doesn't practice. He doesn't practice right early in the week. He becomes a participant to some degree middle of the week. You wait on him. You wait on him. He's a game time decision. And then on Sunday, he gets a hat. Then he gets hurt on Sunday. And so Nick Vannett had more than ample opportunity to seize a job with the Pittsburgh Steelers that was probably bigger than he anticipated.
You could argue that Nick Vannett was set up to succeed due to the situation the offense was in more than anybody, other than the backup quarterback who was given an opportunity. Nick Vannett is a tight end in an offense that isn't pushing the ball downfield, and the quarterback is looking for some security underneath. And where's the tight end go? That's the tight end's job right there. And he didn't seize upon that opportunity. And moreover, it strikes me, I don't know if it strikes you the same way, Colin, maybe I'm going too far with this, but Nick Vannett is the kind of guy that when he was at Ohio State was somewhat successful because he was a part of a great team, right? Ezekiel Elliott and that Buckeyes offense that would just run roughshod over people. He goes to Seattle. It's a pretty decent offense there, and he has a little bit of success. He comes to Pittsburgh and works with backup quarterbacks and doesn't have as much success. It strikes me that Nick Vannett is the classic example of when he's a part of a great team, he can be very good. When he's part of a below average offense, he's just not very good. Nick Vannett is not the kind of guy who serves as a rising tide and lifts the boats on the rest of the offense and the rest of his team. He's just a guy who's kind of along for the ride.
Nick Vannett's just a dude in the NFL. He's just a dude. That's it. He's a guy. He's a roster filler. He's a second tight end. He's never going to make a true difference. He's going to help you out here and there, but he is what he is.
Yeah, had an opportunity to make more of an impact, and now it's on the Steelers that he didn't make that impact. I don't know. I find it curious, definitely.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.